New today, some lawmakers want to make it harder to get an abortion in North Carolina. Now at 7, we'll explain the potential new bill and why some are strongly against it.
And one step closer to legalizing medical marijuana in North Carolina. Who would be able to use it if the proposed legislation passes? Plus, the 5 new security measures the Wake County School Board is considering to make your children's school safer.
Wave after wave of rain is headed our way. I'm tracking the hours we're most likely to get soaked or even see storms. New reaction tonight to a bill in the works that could ultimately lead to new abortion restrictions in North Carolina. Thank you for joining us. I'm Deborah Morgan.
And I'm Dan Haggerty. Today, House Speaker Tim Moore said he expects the legislation will reduce the number of weeks at the start of a pregnancy when abortion will be legal.
WRL's Julian Grace is live at the Legislative Building in downtown Raleigh to explain the next steps. Julian?
Well, Deborah, House Speaker Tim Moore says their support to reduce the bill from anywhere from 12 to 6 weeks. Now, this is video of the House Speaker speaking to a crowd earlier today. He gave some details, very limited details, on what could possibly be in that bill. Our cameras were there as he continued to speak to that crowd. Currently, state law bans abortions after 20 weeks unless needed later to save the mother's life. In order for this bill to pass, Republicans will need help from Democrats. The GOP is one seat short of a majority big enough to override vetoes by Democratic Governor Roy Cooper. One North Carolinian shared her thoughts on the Republicans' attempt to limit abortion in the state.
I'm incredibly disheartened to hear that the Republicans are yet again attempting to control the healthcare decisions of the people that elected them to represent us instead of focusing on the real issues that impact the everyday lived experiences of North Carolinians.
Strong words right there. Deborah, coming up all new tonight at 10 and 11, hear how one group plans to fight back against that Republican proposal. That's all new tonight at 10 and 11. Deborah?
Julian Grace live in Raleigh. Thank you, Julian. Tonight, North Carolina is one step closer to making medical marijuana legal. Today, state senators passed a bill that would do that, 36 to 10. The legislation still needs to pass another vote tomorrow before it then heads to the state house. It's similar to the same bill that passed last year. Supporters, though, have higher hopes this time. The bill's lead sponsor, who is a Republican, recently said he believes there's more support in the House GOP than there was last year. North Carolina is among a small number of states yet to legalize medical marijuana. Today, a state Senate committee approved a bill to toughen the penalties for attacking power or communications equipment in North Carolina. This bill was filed in response to the attack on a Moore County substation back in December. This new bill would raise the penalty for a similar attack to a felony with jail time. That carries with it a fine of up to $250,000.
I'm Mark Boyle in WRL Live Center. State Auditor Beth Wood has some news coming out this evening. We've been covering the story about the hit and run she was involved with since December. And here's the new information. That number right here, $7,700. She will be and has paid out of her own pocket said that repair costs for the repairs and the towing, all associated with the crash, with that hit and run that happened back in December. So this story was just updated on our website, WRL.com, within the past 5 minutes. If you'd like to read how that story has developed, well, a lot, really, over the past couple of weeks. Back to you guys.
All right, another development. Mark, thank you. Today, police and deputies were at a Wake County school in response to another threat. Sky 5 flying over River Bend Middle School. This is in Raleigh this morning. Shortly after officers arrived, school leaders say a hoax threat was made against the school. They say the school never went into lockdown. Nothing was found. A student was identified as the person who made that false threat. That person was disciplined, we're told, and they could face charges. Wake County Schools is making it clear metal detectors are not part of a district-wide plan to make schools safer. District leaders are facing mounting pressure from parents to address safety. There have been 5 guns found in 5 schools in the last 4 months. That's on top of a growing number of social media threats and school lockdowns. Wake County Schools has identified 5 recommendations for physical security upgrades at schools. The school board met in closed sessions today to hear about them. And the district so far is keeping the specific recommendations under wraps.
I can't really tell you what's in the assessment, but I'm going to tell you what's not in the assessment. Metal detectors and or weapon detection systems are not in the assessment.
Security experts have told WRAL that metal detectors are expensive upgrades that are unlikely to stop school shootings. However, they may catch some weapons entering schools. Later this year, Wake County and Wake Schools will install new check-in systems at all schools that screen visitors more intensely.
A campaign is underway to stop the South's first historically black university from redeveloping its campus in downtown Raleigh. Today, Shaw University got the approval of the city's planning commission to rezone its 27-acre campus for buildings as tall as 12, 20, or 30 stories. WRAL's Matt Tallhelm tells us why some alumni are fighting their alma mater.
This is history here.
Eugene Myrick wants to make sure the history of the school where he earned his degree remains on more than just plaques posted around campus.
If this rezoning takes place, it's just going to be another plaque, a Shaw U Was Here plaque.
He's leading the Save Our Shaw campaign, calling on Raleigh city leaders to put a pause on the university's request to rezone its campus for new development.
The campus will go away. There's no other way to explain it.
The rezoning would allow buildings up to 12 or 20 stories on a few blocks of the campus. The bulk of Shaw would be allowed to have towers as tall as 30 stories. The university is calling it the Shaw U District.
Our students at Shaw can have the same amenities surrounding them that you see at NC State being developed around peace.
Students wearing Shaw U District shirts showed their support at the meeting where planning commissioners recommended approval of the university. Rezoning. Only one member voted no.
And without seeing the plan, it's hard for me to say that it's in the interest of the community in which the university sits.
Developers would lease land from Shaw to build any towers, generating new funding for a university that depends on tuition to pay for campus upgrades.
Shaw University wants to have the ability to utilize its knowledge, expertise, and partnerships to do the best for the university.
But Myrick questions the university's transparency and who will benefit.
There's no talk of a new medical school, new law school. We're talking about restaurants. We're talking about bars. We're not talking about a new dental school. We're not talking about new dormitories.
The Planning Commission's recommendation to approve the rezoning now goes to Raleigh City Council for a final decision. Matt Tallhelm, WRAL News, Raleigh.
The Raleigh Planning Commission also pushed through a rezoning measure that could add to the city's skyline. It would allow for a 40-story building right next to the Wake County Sheriff's Office, about two blocks away from Nash Square. A parking lot and parking deck are there now. No specific plans for a project at that site just yet. The City Council will make the final decision on this as well.
Let's take a live look at Raleigh. A beautiful night. Did you notice all the pollen today? I saw it on my car as soon as I walked outside. And the kids were like, what is this on the windows? Rain moving back into the forecast. A little later could wash it away. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now from the WRAL Severe Weather Center. If people are thinking to themselves, man, it sure seems early for all this pollen to be out, they're right.
Absolutely. We've never seen pine pollen like this early in the season, but it is the warmest February on record. Rain is returning, though. That's going to help to wash away some of the pollen. We're going to need that rain tomorrow night into Thursday morning. It's not just that round of rain, but additional rounds likely starting tomorrow night all the way through Friday night. So let's start with the first round. During the day tomorrow, it is going to be dry. No issues for the morning commute, no issues for the evening commute. In fact, really no rain through midnight, but after midnight tomorrow night and early Thursday morning, we'll begin to see the rain pushing in from the west. Could become fairly widespread and perhaps heavy as we get toward 4, 5, 6 a.m. in the morning. And as we continue throughout the morning hours, we see that main band move to the east and some scattered showers left behind for the morning commute into the afternoon. More bands of rain in the forecast, as I mentioned before, and some of those could bring storms. I'll talk about the final band and storm threat coming up.
All right, Kat, thank you. So in a month, Dix Park will transform. Thousands of people are going to join us here for the Dreamville Music Festival.
Yeah, look at all these people from last year. Well, it's expected to be bigger than ever. And now we know who will headline the event. Today, organizers announced some huge names in music who will perform, including Usher, Drake, and Fayetteville's own J. Cole, who created the festival. Other rap, R&B, and hip-hop artists will also take the stage, like Sean Paul and Waka Flocka Flame. This year's festival is expected to be bigger than 2022, surpassing the 80,000 fans.
The city allowing them to scale to 50,000 per day capacity, so that should put, you know, the number pretty close to 100,000 over the 2 days.
Wow, that's a lot of people in Dix Park.
Going next level here with this lineup.
Yeah, that's great. In 2022, Dreamville brought in $6.7 million in economic impact. They expect to surpass that this year. The festival is April 1st and 2nd, and tickets are still available.
I bet they don't last long.
No. Still ahead, thousands of families in North Carolina will lose some much-needed benefits in a matter of hours.
A closer look at the impact that will be felt in homes across North Carolina next. Also,
hair-based discrimination has been a topic at the national level. I'm Destiny Patterson. I'll tell you how a local school district is opening up the conversation.
Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Starting tomorrow, thousands of North Carolina households will lose their SNAP benefits. That's the federal program that helps people put food on the table. Since the pandemic began, the program received extra emergency funds. Families will get about $95 less each month on average. Some could lose as much as $250.
Governor Roy Cooper wants Congress to make a long-term investment in child care. That was the message behind a letter the governor sent to every member of North Carolina's congressional delegation. It says the state system is under-resourced and strained to its breaking point. Cooper says that, in turn, it's keeping parents out of the workforce and costing the state as much as $3.5 billion a year in productivity and wages. The letter calls on lawmakers to look for an opportunity to make reoccurring investments to improve the system.
Right now, Durham students are hosting a conversation about discrimination based on hair. It's all part of a Crown Week activity, bringing awareness to the issue. WRAL's Destiny Patterson sat down with a Hillside High School student who made national news after she was forced to cut off her braids.
It's Crown Act Week here for Durham Public Schools, and inside of these doors, students are talking about mainstream beauty standards and loving any and all hair textures. I talked to a Hillside student who says that she's glad that her experiences have been a catalyst for change.
I would hope that what I went through, what other people went through, really made people want to act different.
Nicole Biles is getting ready to graduate from Hillside High School. But it wasn't too long ago when she was forced to cut her braids during a softball game and made national headlines because of it.
I really went through that, and like to see that some places don't want to make change, some places are making change.
Like Durham Public Schools, where they're celebrating Crown Act Week.
These spaces are important not only for our students now, but as they grow.
The Crown Act stands for Create a Respectful and Open Workplace for Natural Hair. It's a law that prohibits race-based hair discrimination. So far, 20 states have put the law in place.
We want to make sure that we cultivate spaces where our black and brown students are able to be in a place where their identities are affirmed, specifically their hair.
Twists and locks and all of that. It's fun. It's really nice. I enjoy it. But at the end of the day, like I said before, you kind of wish you wouldn't have to do those things to make people feel included, because people should feel included regardless. But you need representation.
While Pyle says more work can be done, her dad is already proud of what she's accomplished so far.
I think I raised her right to be a strong, young, independent lady.
The district has several events as well as a Spirit Week planned. You can find more information on that on WRAL.com. Destiny Patterson, WRAL News, Durham.
An electric vehicle charger manufacturer coming to the Triangle is bringing double the amount of jobs it previously promised. Earlier this month, Kemp Power Inc. announced it would invest $41 million for a new facility in Durham County. The company says it now plans to create 601 jobs instead of the 300 it initially proposed. That's after Durham County commissioners approved a new local economic incentive for the project last night. On average, the jobs will pay more than $71,000 a year.
Boy, I hope you enjoyed today. It was absolutely perfect. And what a beautiful night they're having in Sanford and all around our area, too. Meteorologist Kat Campbell joining us now because we have another system heading our way to bring some changes, Kat.
Yes, we do, Deborah. And this is going to bring changes in parts, a few ways of rain possible. What we'll first see, we're going to see this system on the West Coast really dive south, come together, and then it steers back to the northeast this week. So that's really going to be the system to watch. It brings a threat for severe weather to portions of the South and the Southern Plains on Thursday. And a pretty significant threat. Already a level 3 out of 5 threat for the areas in orange. Over 47 million people are at risk of tornadoes, damaging wind gusts, and the potential for some large hail. We're going to be watching this system as it brings the final round of rain, perhaps some storms on Friday. The threat for severe weather is not high at this point. In fact, it's greater to our west. But this is going to be a day that we're going to continue to monitor. Tomorrow is the first time we'll get in high-resolution model data for Friday's rain and storms. So I encourage you to check in for an update tomorrow. Certainly no need to panic on Friday. It's a severe threat just yet. But it's something we want to watch. So check back in as we fine-tune those details. For tomorrow during the day, it's dry. You're not going to have to worry about rain during the day. It's warm. Get outside. Soak it in. We're dry through tomorrow night, but it's after midnight that we see the rain beginning to move in. And the rain's likely to stick around very early on Thursday morning. Some showers left for the morning commute, maybe not as widespread. And then we get a little bit of a lull for the most part Thursday during the day. There may be a few spotty showers, but the next round is likely to fill in Thursday night into early Friday morning. And you can see just some scattered showers with that round. But here's the final round ahead of a cold front, and this is the one we're going to watch to see the exact timing of when it arrives. That's going to affect the energy levels and how far the low pressure tracks to the north. That's also going to impact how much energy is available for any thunderstorms in the atmosphere. Still some question marks there right now, but it looks like if we do see those storms, they would arrive late in the evening on Friday. For now, though, it is a quiet night in Apex. Some folks out and about driving around. Nice evening to have the windows open as you drive. Tomorrow morning, it's going to be a quiet start to the day. Temperatures in the 50s, 52 at 8 a.m. with plenty of sunshine. By lunchtime, we have partly cloudy skies returning with temperatures near 70 degrees. You know, teachers, if you want to take the kids outside for lunch tomorrow, should be a beautiful day to do that. Just beware of the pollen. And then during the afternoon, temperatures topping out in the mid-70s. So fairly close to where we were today. Maybe a degree or two cooler thanks to the partly cloudy skies filling in later in the day. 76 in the Triangle tomorrow, 71 in Roxborough, 74 in Rocky Mount, 75 degrees in Siler City, near 80 again for Fayetteville, Clinton, 77 in Smithfield, 75 degrees in Sanford. Temperatures stay mild through Friday. It'll be windy on Friday, regardless of whether or not we see any thunderstorms. It's going to be a blustery day as we see that cold front pass through. But the cold air isn't going to arrive the second that cold front hits. It takes a little while for the cooler air to move in. Saturday in the upper 60s, possibly 70s with sunshine. Sunday, 63. It is looking like we may finally have a nice weekend on tap.
Finally.
Not the 70s yes. All around, but not too bad.
We deserve it for sure. Thanks, Kat.
Seniors struggling with disabilities can feel isolated, but now they have a way to contact and connect with each other through the metaverse with people from around the world. Well, I'm sure you've heard the term metaverse, but maybe you aren't clear on exactly what it is.
It's a virtual reality experience where people can interact with others, and some senior citizens are using it to remain socially active thanks to a local nonprofit.
This is a virtual reality experience in the metaverse world.
Yes!
All right.
These animated characters represent real people within a virtual space.
Put the headset on and use these controllers, and this helps you sort of track your hands. If I go and reach out and pick something up, I'll go ahead and grip it.
If I want to pick up this microphone, I just reach out and I grab it.
Robert Signori is the president of the nonprofit Thrive Pavilion, a social platform within Metaverse where seniors can socialize and play games like golf.
Oh, nice shot.
Oh, look at this. Oh,
in the real world, seniors like Carrie are socially and physically limited.
Having this is amazing because I'm here now. I may not be able to walk in real life, but I sure can here.
The people that they like to hang out with and socialize either don't live close by anymore or have even passed away.
Tony Faring also has physical limitations, but in the virtual world, he can float around and shake hands with friends.
That shake of hands was across the Atlantic.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
Tony's actually from the UK.
Outside of the virtual setting, the images are flat. Inside, it's a 3D world.
Since it's using both eyes, it gives you a three-dimensional view of what you're looking at.
This is the activity center.
So we did a lot of stuff. So we played a card game. We went to the carnival.
The friendships are real.
Happy birthday!
Happy birthday! Yay!
So are the social, mental, and physical benefits, says Signori.
Because when you're participating in these groups, you hear a lot of laughter. So, and we know that laughter is the best, you know, certainly the best medicine.
Oh, oh man, first try.
I hate the cartoon. Yay!
Dunked him right there. I can't wait to try this. It seems amazing. Robert Signori says the COVID pandemic led to a greater interest among many people who felt socially isolated.
And anyone who's ever tried that virtual reality,
yeah.
It's a lot more immersive than you might think.
Yeah.
It does start to feel a little bit like
very
your other
real.
Senses go away and you're
yeah.
living in that world. It's
yeah,
interesting.
It's incredible. Well, it's not every day you see a small herd of cows roaming through a residential area, but that's what this is.
The cows were somewhat of a mystery to the folks who live near the James Creek community. Until now, we kind of tracked down where they're coming from. About a dozen cows were captured on some home security cameras, as you saw there, and cell phones. They were spotted 2 months ago and then came back last month. It turns out they belong to a farmer who lives on the backside of the neighborhood. Other than being shocked, residents honestly don't seem that concerned.
I think it's funny. Every time I come out to check the mail, I make the grand announcement. If I don't come back in 2 minutes, it's because the cows got me.
The cows caught me. The farmer says on occasion, storms may knock down parts of the fence, and the cows, they're tricky. They can escape. He's able to round them up when he finds them in the neighborhood. He uses whistling, and they, I guess, come running. So they're well-trained.
That is great.
But, yeah, kind of fun, I guess,
yeah.
a little bit. We're howling with excitement as we wish a happy wedding anniversary to NC State's Mr. and Mrs. Wolf.
Yeah, the university sent out this adorable tweet today as they wish the couple well on their special day. 42 years ago, they were married at halftime at the basketball game in Reynolds Coliseum. The Wake Forest Demon Deacon officiated the ceremony.
I don't know who their doctors are, but they're aging
they're looking
well.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah,
they look good. Good creams or something, I guess. Hey, thanks for joining us tonight.
See you at 10 and 11. Good night.
Keep watching WRAL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.